Morning, everybody. I'd like to call Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is April 6, 2009. It's 2 minutes after 9 a.m. Joining me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and Senator Huggins. We have one bill on the agenda, Senate Bill 161. Appropriation bill, non-transportation stimulus, which we've been working on for several days. The meeting is for the purpose of taking statewide public testimony, and then we will set this bill aside. So with that, we're going to ask everybody that calls in to try to keep their comments to 2 minutes so we can get through the list this morning, and everybody around the state has time to put their 2 cents in. We're going to start with the community of Anchorage, and we're going to start with Mike Holzman. Mr. Holzman, you have if you could speak to Senate Bill 161, please, and keep your comments to 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
And please identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and all the participants when they first start off. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
My name is Michael Holzman. I'm Executive Director of VSA Arts of Alaska. We're a small arts organization in Anchorage, and I am speaking to supporting that all of the arts funding, arts and culture funding, there's about $300,000 in the economic stimulus bill. We ask that all of these funds be accepted and distributed throughout the state. We are an important arts and culture organizations. We are an important economic engine for all of our communities. In Anchorage alone, we support 1,168 jobs, according to a 2007 study done in Anchorage, and we generate $45 million worth of economic activity in Anchorage. Our organization in particular has been hit really hard by the economic downturn. Only 4% of our funding comes from state funds. Most of our funding comes from foundations and corporations. The corporations are laying off staff. The foundations were heavily invested in the stock market, and we have taken a 20% hit in our funding so far this year, and I'm projecting that we will take another 11% hit in funding. We believe that without the funding, we are going to have to lay off staff. It's very important that we continue this activity. Arts and culture not only is an important economic engine, but it's a clean employer. It doesn't pollute, and we actually leave the community a better place after we do one of our presentations, so or shows or events. I have brought with me for the committee, and I don't know how to deliver it to you, but a petition that I circulated for 2 hours this weekend, and I have 100 signatures asking that you appropriate these funds and distribute them. I would also like to say that when we do our work, especially us at VSA Arts, we take a statewide approach. Recently, we have supported the work of Allison Warden. She is an Inupiat artist with cultural roots in Kaktobik, who was raised in Fairbanks, and we have actually presented her to the national scene at national conferences because her work is so compelling. Another example of work that we will be doing this October is Yupik artist Emily Johnson. She has cultural roots in Bethel, and she graduated from high school. And
we're going to go now to Ketchikan. Again, we want to try to keep everybody down to 2 minutes, and please If I try to interrupt your conversation, if you would please stop, so I can try to get you to summarize. We want to give everybody the ability to summarize their comments. And we're going to go now to Ketchikan. Kevin Gladsley, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, and please keep your comments to a couple minutes, please.
Yes, this is Kevin Gladsley with the State Independent Living Council and Southeast Alaska Independent Living. Thank you very much for your time here today to both the chair and to honored legislators. We with the State Independent Living Council and the independent living community around Southeast and statewide are asking that the legislature please consider approving the funds for independent living and vocational rehabilitation, which will benefit people with disabilities. These are funds that were put in the stimulus package to help create a better system so that we can help people have full lives and have jobs who have disabilities. Just at our last meeting of the State Independent Living Council, we had sat down and discussed ways that we could use these funds without growing government, because we heard Governor Palin's call for that. That is not something we want to have happen here in Alaska, and we support that. There were ideas all the way from a one-time ramp projects or adaptive technology to building a video technology at all the satellite offices and to the rural areas, so that vocational rehabilitation and independent living centers can better access and better reach people where they are and with the disabilities they have. I strongly urge you, we will not waste this money, and it will be used for one-time projects. It's very important to our systems to be able to have it, and so we can do better, help people live more independently in their communities in Alaska. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go now to Pribilof School District. Jamie Stacks. Max, if you can introduce yourself for the record and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, this is Jamie Stacks, and I am the superintendent of the Pribilof School District. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to speak at this time. And I just wanted to assure all of you that the Pribilof School District will use the stimulus monies to enhance student education. We will be completely accountable for every penny, and we will use the monies wisely. The funds will be used to benefit school children in St. Paul and St. George, and we will do this without growing bureaucracy or making long-term budget commitments. District leaders have met to discuss the benefits of the funds with several potential opportunities to use these funds without long-term costs. We have discussed using them for intensive teacher training, for a supplemental instruction program this summer, and also to keep jobs. As you all know, that there is a decline in student population in rural Alaska, which transfers, you know, directly to decreased funding. So any monies that we could receive would be directly used for our students and to enhance their education. And I just want to urge you to please accept any of these funds for education, as for the students in the Pribilofs, as well as the whole state of Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony this morning. We'll now go to Charlotte Fox. Ms. Fox, if you could introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Good morning, Senators, and thank you for taking my testimony. I am Charlotte Fox. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska State Council on the Arts. As you've heard, we are anticipating receiving $290,000 from the National Endowment for the Arts under the stimulus package. These funds, other than a small amount for the administration of this program, will be re-granted to nonprofit arts organizations to provide one-year support during this time of economic uncertainty. Under our guidelines, these funds must be used only for jobs or for artist contracts which are threatened or have been lost. There is no match requirement, and all parties are well aware that these are one-time funds. The rippling effect of loss of income to the creative industry is often overlooked. While Alaska may be behind the recession curve, many of our nonprofit arts organizations are already suffering because of the traditional support they have received from foundations such as the Atwood or the Rasmussen Foundations. These have experienced tremendous losses in their investments. For us to have the ability to provide a measure of support for arts organizations during the next year while they stabilize their budgets and seek other means of income is critical to the health of the arts industry in Alaska. So I urge you to allow us to accept these funds from the NEA. They are sitting there and ready to go to us. And I appreciate the time you're taking this morning to listen to everybody's testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Long. We'll now go back to Anchorage. Nancy Nolan. Please, Nancy Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Nancy Nolan. I'm the Senior Policy Director for Acting Mayor of Anchorage, Matt Klayman. And on behalf of Mayor Klayman and the Municipality of Anchorage, I urge you to accept all remaining available stimulus funds. Anchorage and the state will benefit from the acceptance of these funds, particularly as we face the local impacts of the national recession. The funding will help create and preserve jobs, help develop energy efficiency measures, and provide critical service needs in public safety, education, and social services. We ask that you support our educational system. Anchorage has one of the largest school districts in the country. The Recovery Act funds will allow previously unfunded federal mandates to reach the target funding levels for the first time and provide for the needs of our neediest and youngest children. We ask you to support our children, our teachers, and the school districts throughout the state by accepting all Recovery Act funding for education. We also ask that you support our energy development and conservation efforts. Our economic future depends on energy. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act targets goals for efficient and reliable use of energy and energy independence. The funds will support renewable energy projects and efficiency investments around the state, providing an ongoing return on this investment for the state and local communities. Our research has indicated that the much-debated requirement for adoption of building efficiency codes is not at all problematic. Most builders are already adhering to these standards as common practice, and the 8-year timeline gives the state plenty of time to address that issue. Please support our ability to move rapidly to an energy-efficient future. We also ask that you support the funds for unemployment and workforce development, the arts, COBRA, and other social services. Demand for social services is at an all-time high in Anchorage. Accept these funds, and you'll help bridge the gap for those members of our society who are most at risk from the effects of the national recession. We also ask members of this body that you support our public safety efforts. The public safety funds provide services and support for victims of crime. Coincidentally, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Funds under consideration provide immediate safety and support to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska. Additional funds provide support for our troopers, our police, our prosecutors, and our criminal justice system programs to prevent and reduce crime and hold offenders accountable. We urge you to accept all of the public safety funds. In closing, I urge this committee to invest in a viable economic future and support the citizens of our state by passing Senate Bill 161. Please accept the remaining funds provided for the state of Alaska in this act. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
Thank you for your testimony today. In Anchorage, Carla Jutsi. If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Carla Jutsi. I'm the Executive Director at the Alaska Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. The center is the state's only training and resource facility equipping Alaskans with visual disabilities to meet their goals for life and work. I'd like to urge you to accept the stimulus funds meant for the Department of Labor to support people with disabilities through the Alaska Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, specifically $1.8 million for the Division of Voc Rehab and $243,000 for independent living. These funds come with no additional strings attached. They will be administered according to the current state plan. People with disabilities, unfortunately, are usually the last into jobs and the first out when times are tough. We just received a new study from the American Foundation of the Blind this last week that says 70%, that's 70% of people who are blind and visually impaired throughout the country are unemployed. This stimulus funding will allow our center to put to work people with visual disabilities and to create commitments from employers that will employ others after the stimulus funds end. Not to do this would be tragically wasteful. We are a nonprofit organization, and our board of directors certainly understands how to plan for one-time funds. Thank you for your consideration of this important matter.
Thank you for your testimony. Andy Nations? Andy Nations in Anchorage, N-A-T-I-O-N-S.
Hi, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm Andy Nations, and I am the Executive Director of the Statewide Independent Living Council. And I am following behind Carla in urging you to accept the money set aside in the stimulus bill for the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation and Independent Living Services. Statewide Independent Living Council is a board of directors that works with and supports four independent living centers that serve the vast area of Alaska. When folks come into our centers for independent living, they're usually looking for a combination of long-term and short-term services that can help them stay in their own home and live and be productive in their own communities. These folks don't want to move out of their communities to get to where they can have services to live. They want those services in their own communities, in their own homes. Oftentimes, short-term services are all that they need. They may need a ramp put onto their home so that they can get in and out of their home and into their community. They may need a job coach to go out onto a job with them to help them learn that job and then develop the natural supports with the employers within their communities to stay in those jobs. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation and the Centers for Independent Living can provide those supports on a short-term basis that have very long-term effects for folks. People with disabilities in rural and remote Alaska have very little ability to access those services. These stimulus monies can give us a one-time ability to go into those communities and provide enhanced services that aren't available to them at this point and that may not be needed at a later point because we can provide them now and get those folks going and living in the way that they want to do. So we urge you to accept all the stimulus monies, but particularly the ones that are devoted to helping Alaskans with disabilities live and work and productively in their own communities. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We're going to have a brief at ease.
Next, we'll go to Ms. Susan Sullivan in Anchorage, Victims of Justice. Hello, Susan.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, Susan, yes. If you identify yourself and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Susan Sullivan. I'm Executive Director of Victims for Justice. We're a nonprofit agency that provides victim services to people who have been victimized by violent crime. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Are we muted?
Are you muted? Mm-mm. Is it green?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Susan, you're breaking up right now.
I will start over.
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having us today. My name is Susan Sullivan. I'm Executive Director of Victims for Justice. We are a nonprofit organization that provides victim services to people who are victims of violent crime. We urge you to accept all of the Recovery Act funds in the area of public safety. We're particularly interested in those funds that are directed to the state's two VOCA agencies, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. During times of decreased economy, there is often an increase in crime, and for certain, there is an increase in the number of victims of crime who need support, particularly in the areas of compensation and victim services. We're among the many nonprofits who provide important services to citizens of the state at very low cost to the state, largely because we're able to pair state funding with support from foundations and corporations. However, the severe decline in corporate and funding support due to the decreases in the stock market have really impaired our ability to provide the services that we normally do provide, and the Recovery Act funds would be very helpful. We feel that without the Recovery Act funding, we'll have to lay off staff and leave vacant positions that are currently unfilled. Again, thank you very much for hearing our testimony today. Thank you for your work on this recovery bill.
Yeah, thank you very much, Susan. And next we will go to Palmer, Mr. Jim Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
My name is Jim Beck, and I'm representing Access Alaska, one of the four centers for independent living, as well as the other independent living centers and the State Independent Living Council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I am here to urge you to accept all of the stimulus funding, but in particular, I'm here to testify in favor of funding that is slated to go to the Department of Labor for independent living and the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. I'm not sure if it really is germane, but it's no accident that this funding was in the federal stimulus bill for independent living. There was a concerted effort nationally working with...
Yeah, Mr. Beck. We'll stand by for a moment here as we get Mr. Beck back up. Mr. Beck, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. For some reason, it became muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Please continue.
Not sure where I got cut off, but I was just saying that the community nationally worked very hard to get this funding in the federal bill, and in that regard, we've been anticipating the funding and are well prepared to spend it responsibly. We understand this is one-time funding, and we will use it accordingly. Good question. What will we do with it? Well, frankly, we're going to help elders and people with disabilities throughout the state remain in their homes by doing home accessibility modifications. We're going to build ramps. We're going to widen doorways. We're going to purchase equipment that leads to independence or sustains independence, so that elders and folks with disabilities can live in their community, so they can work, so they can stay safe, and they can avoid living in expensive institutions. Many of the things that we will use this funding for will be long-lasting changes and improvements, and a lot of those things will even be permanent. That ramp that we build on a house in rural Alaska might last for generations. We will increase our outreach to rural Alaska and underserved populations such as deaf folks who are increasingly isolated. We'll use partnerships, short-term contracts, and other strategies that will result in increased capacity moving forward, and we're going to place heavy emphasis on projects and partnerships that lead to wage employment and business ownership by people with disabilities. This funding will pass through our nonprofit organizations and will be spread throughout the community, throughout our vendors and contractors, and will really go and support a lot of jobs as we use it to help people remain independent. And finally, I just want to put in a word for the increased funding for the Vocational Rehabilitation Division in the state of Alaska. Voc Rehab does direct service to folks with disabilities, but they also are brokers of services and will use this funding to increase capacity throughout the community, additional job coaches, and other services that won't grow government positions but will continue to increase the rate of employment of folks with disabilities. We will plan to get more people off of welfare rolls and becoming tax-paying citizens. Thank you very much for the time to speak with you, and good luck with your decision-making on this process.
Yeah, Jim, and thank you very much for your testimony. And next, we will go to CPAC for Ms. Mitzi Barker. Hello, Mitzi.
Thank you. I'm Mitzi Barker. I live in Chugiak. I'm with the Rural Alaska Community Action Program. I have my colleague, Sarah Scanlon, here with me, who I think her name is actually beneath mine on the list. And if it would be acceptable to you, I'd like to have Ms. Scanlon start our remarks, and then I'll kind of pick up at the place where she leaves off. Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable. Please. Thank you. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Really appreciate your this opportunity for the public to provide a little bit more information. As Mitzi indicated, we are from RuralCAP. We propose strategic responses to two urgent issues, the high energy costs and rising foreclosure rates in Alaska. Many of you know that RuralCAP has been around for more than 40 years. Last year, we had over 730 employees on the payroll statewide in over 70 communities. We operate childhood education programs. We are one of the state's five principal weatherization grantees for AHFC's weatherization program, and we provide a number of community programs, including solid waste management, wellness, energy cost reduction programs, and we also transition Anchorage homeless populations into jobs and off the streets. We'll be speaking today specifically to one of the stimulus package funds. It's the $3.9 million in community service block grants funds that are designated for Alaska. RuralCAP is the only community action agency in Alaska out of nearly 1,000 nationwide, which are the eligible recipients for these funds. These funds are used to leverage other funding in RuralCAP's budget, the result in moving low-income people into self-sufficiency. Again, as has been said by others, the stimulus funds will not create any new government jobs to oversee the specific distribution. These funds pass through the DCCED, and they've managed this fund and grant for years. They schedule public hearings, and we've got one scheduled this year, this spring. There's no expectation that once these funds are expended for the state to provide replacement funds, and we expect that these funds will further enhance residential energy efficiencies to help Alaska residents reduce their energy bills as a result of the high energy prices, and to help Alaskan homeowners avoid default and foreclosure. We wanted to spend just a minute or two on the foreclosure issue, and at this point, I'm going to turn it over to our expert at RuralCAP on this topic, Mitzi Barker. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I wanted to speak briefly to the proposal that we have on the table here for a potential use of these community services block grant monies. And that's to develop a very short-term response to what is becoming an acute and rising need, and that is in the area of default avoidance and foreclosure prevention. Some of you may know that I've been involved in working in Alaska now for well over 20 years as a housing economist and planner, and have had interesting times watching the ebb and flow of our housing market here. Certainly, we are not in the kind of position that we were in the late 80s. However, as the most recent publication, our trends publication by the Department of Labor points out, our foreclosure rate is at a 15-year high, and it's rising. The only really prudent thing for us to do is to go ahead and do something that will allow us to really curtail this rising tide in foreclosure rates. The report cites that good deal the undergirding of Alaska's economy comes from the strength of the home ownership market. And what we would propose to do is basically a two-pronged approach. One is to provide a fairly aggressive campaign of consumer awareness and public information. We've seen in the lower 48 where families in distress are losing their jobs, first thing that happens is you let a credit card bill go delinquent. Next thing that happens is you don't make your car payment. Next thing that happens is this rolls down the line is eventually you lose your home. And I can't help but believe that ultimately if we do not take some strategic action now in the short term to address this issue, we could very well find ourselves eventually back where we were in the 80s. Back in the days when the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation had at any given time in its inventory 5,000 foreclosed homes.
Hello, Mitzi.
Yes.
Yes, Charlie Huggins. Could you give us a synopsis of your testimony?
Certainly. Basically, the very short and direct is we're looking to do the public awareness campaign, education campaign on default avoidance and foreclosure prevention, addressing both avoiding default on your minor bills, such as your credit card bills and your car payment, and letting people know that there are other options. We're looking to partner this into a program that would go beyond public information, but then put homeowners and people who are at risk of becoming delinquent on their loans into connection with a financial counselor, with a housing counselor, close to home by partnering with organizations around the state that are already providing consumer credit counseling services. The focus on would be in traditional homeowner communities, of course, where the highest risk of foreclosure exists, such as Anchorage, the Valley, the Kenai, the major southeast communities.
Mitzi,
but again, to provide this service in a way people can
access it locally. Mitzi, please. Mitzi.
Yes, sir.
It's Charlie Huggins. In conclusion, you have a concluding statement?
My concluding statement is that we would encourage you to say yes to the funding for the Community Services Block Grant Program so that we can undertake both of these strategic short-term responses to current needs.
Okay, thank you and Sarah both very much for your testimony on behalf of CAP. And next we will go to Matt Sue, to the mayor of the city of Houston, Mayor Roger Purcell. Roger, are you there?
Yes, Senator, good morning. And good morning, Senate Finance Committee. Mayor Roger Purcell, City of Houston. I'm here today to talk and hopefully to ask that we get three of our shovel-ready projects that we sent in back or onto the stimulus package. Houston is the fastest-growing city in the Mat-Su borough. The George Parks Highway, which comes through, is a safety corridor. It's the number one most dangerous highway in Alaska. And with over 17,000 cars a day coming into the city of Houston, which now makes it the third most congested road in Alaska, right behind Tudor Road out of Anchorage. Out of the projects that we submitted to the senators, congressional delegates in the state, none of our projects made it to the stimulus package. And we'd ask that you guys review, especially our public safety new building along just near the Parks Highway there. We'll increase the central fire suppression service to this area. Right now, we don't have enough space in our current building. We need to expand our size. And this would create sufficient space and design to accommodate a new tender and tanker engines and rescue, decreasing response times along the core of the George Parks Highway. And this is known as the most dangerous highway. Instead of waiting for additional assistance from neighbor departments, taking up to an additional 20 to 30 minutes to arrive at the scene. This unacceptable delay can pose a threat to loss of structure, wildlands, vehicles, and the loss of life. The city of Houston is providing the acreage, and we've already got a $46,000 gallon water tank already submitted to the area, and approximately $725,000 of infrastructure is already placed in by the city. We'd ask that somehow, if the committee could find a way to get this onto the stimulus package, it would be greatly appreciated. Along with that, the two other ready-made projects is the increase of the Meadowview area, approximately $900,000 for upgrading of the roads in this area. It's where the USDA is putting in its new housing projects. It creates new jobs, housing for Houston. We have a total of 80 residential lots and approximately 40 homes are in the area. prior to this new USDA housing development going in. The roads are substandard. In some areas, the bus goes through two and a half feet of water in the springtime coming through because of the way the roads are, were designed. We'd ask that possibly somehow we could get this on the stimulus package. And our last project is where we do not have a public works maintenance building. Most of our equipment sits outside. We work on a very tight budget in the city of Houston. Even though we are a fast-growing city, the money we come in, we are very frugal with, and we run the city on just at $1 million a year for public safety, police, fire, roads, administration, animal control. So we do a very good job with the limited funds. We could really use the assistance, and these projects would be forward-funded by our city. So if there any way the committee could find a way to get these projects into the stimulus package, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Purcell. Next, we'll go to Mr. Dane Crowley in Wasilla.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. This is Dane Crowley, representing Superior Wood Pellets. We are installing a wood pellet manufacturing facility in Fairbanks. I'm speaking today to ask that the committee use any discretionary and incentive grants and funds to stimulate the next chapter of Alaska's energy independence. Renewable energy is not experimental, and I would ask that we please find the support for the expansion of infrastructure to allow renewable energy to create important long-term jobs. This is a general commerce issue. One example would be the upgrade of the power grid infrastructure in Fairbanks to allow the facility in Fairbanks to come online on schedule. I would also like to bring to the attention of the committee that power cost equalization currently only applies to oil-fired systems and is not available for other technologies. Supporting renewable energy projects is part of a general energy policy, and I would ask that the committee find funding within the stimulus package to make renewable energy projects happen in this state. And I spent the better part of last week out in Galena at a renewable energy conference, and the cost of energy in rural Alaska is killing those communities. Those costs spent for energy could be used to offset other funds currently being asked for. I see this as a long-term solution to relieving the state of money needed to be spent for other services. That's my testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dane, very much. And next we'll go to off-net to Ms. Jandice Winkler. Hello, Jandice, are you there? Jandice Winkler with Alaska Child Care Resource and Referral Network. Okay, Jandice, we will come back to you if you get back online. Next to Melina Myers from Best Beginnings. Hello, Melina.
Hi. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Melinda Myers, and I am the senior manager of Best Beginnings, Alaska's Early Childhood Investment Initiative. Best Beginnings is a public-private partnership that mobilizes people and resources to ensure all Alaska children begin school ready to succeed. I am here to testify on SB 161 and the importance of these dollars to the future of our state. Currently, SB 161 does not include funding for education or early childhood programs, and it should. We know these funds can be spent wisely and really make a positive impact on children across the state. One area where this funding would really make a difference is for professional development and training for the early care and learning workforce. Currently, there are not a lot of resources for this sector to further develop their professional skills. This is important because these are the people providing care to our youngest citizens at a critical time in their development. Additionally, another way these funds could be used is for materials and equipment used in early childhood programs. Many programs struggle to maintain their equipment and to purchase materials because of limited funding. I encourage you to accept all of the stimulus funding, but specifically the $113 million in state fiscal stabilization funds that would go directly to public schools, early childhood education programs, and the University of Alaska. The $33 million in funding for special education, including programs for children with special needs. The $29.5 million for Title I grants to schools serving low-income neighborhoods. And finally, the $33 million for workforce training and development. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, and thank you, Melinda, for everything you do. And next we'll go to Judy Cordell, Abused Women's Aid in Crisis.
Hello, thank you and good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of Senate Finance. My name is Judy Cordell and I represent AWAKE in Anchorage. AWAKE is the state's largest domestic violence service provider. I am here to testify in support of full funding under public safety for the ERA stimulus funds for CDVSA and STOP grants. This year to date, we have frequently been 50% over maximum capacity. And I know that many of you are aware that this means we have had 36 more women and children in shelter than we have beds. This year to date, we have provided over 12,000 nights of shelter. Nearly half of those we have served this year have been children. AWAKE receives one-third of our operational funding from CDVSA, and we believe we are efficient stewards of these public dollars. If awarded, AWAKE would use these funds for one-time purchase of needed equipment and building repair and replacement equipment and building items. We are in need of such items and would make effective use of the money. We understand the rationale behind the resistance to using stimulus for operational funds and would not want to use these funds for salaries or operating. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Judy. Next, we will go to Johanna Darrow, Alaska Primary Care. Hello, Johanna. Ms. Johanna Darrow. Okay, hearing no response. Johanna, if you get back on the net, we'll be proud to hear from you. Same with, is Jandice Winkler there? Hearing no response, we will then go to Fairbanks to Luke Hopkins.
Yes, thank you very much, Senator Huggins. My name is Luke Hopkins. I am on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and if you can hear me, I will offer my testimony.
Right, we have you loud and clear.
Thank you much, sir. I speak in the overall aspect of requesting Senate Finance to accept all the remaining stimulus funds, but specifically the funds under the Department of Revenue for both energy conservation weatherization and block grants are critical both for our state and in our community to continue the efforts to implement energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. Our borough assembly last year provided local funding to combine with state funds for our residents to prepare their homes to establish energy ratings that actually modify their homes. And as I think everybody knows, this offers economic stimulus both for the homeowners and businesses alike across our state. But we've shown that energy efficiency is a way for our local residents to actually save money and for the state to be able to move forward on energy projects. So for that aspect, I certainly ask you to support including all the funds that could be listed under the Department of Revenue for both the state energy program, weatherization, and energy efficiency. And the issue with the building codes, you heard some testimony from other communities that the issues of implementing energy efficiency codes are already looked at when so many people are buying homes through HFC and financing them through banks. So certainly pay attention to that. It would allow the state to move forward on conserving energy. That's the first and easiest method to reduce our energy consumption. And of course, as you've heard, the education funds and social services funds that are so critical both to our young and old people and the issues with our citizens with disabilities. So please consider, in closing, to accept all the remaining stimulus funds. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Luke, and thanks for all your hard work on the Assembly in Fairbanks. Next, we'll go to Ms. Cheryl Keepers, Fairbanks Early Childhood Development Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Cheryl Keepers. I'm here talking to you today on behalf of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Early Childhood Commission. First, we urge you to accept all of the federal stimulus dollars, and our particular interest is in the Child Care Development Block Grant Funds, approximately $4 million. The dollars can benefit families and children in early care and education in two ways. One is access to care, and the other is the quality of care that they receive. The access to care makes a difference for our economic development as well as for a family's quality of life. It's hard to go to work and do a good job if you're not comfortable with where your children are that day and if they'll be getting the kind of care and attention that they need. The state has a child care assistance program that assists lower-income families with access to care. The eligibility for those assistance services, the income guidelines, have not been updated since 2002. This is something that is sorely needed. These dollars, I'm understanding, could be used for this. The rates that that same assistance program pays have been updated more recently. Last year, we thank you for bringing them up to the 50th percentile of the market rate. Earlier this year, the governor, in fact, had proposed to increase the state budget for access for child care assistance by $3 million. The House left it in at $1.5 million. That seems like a good use of state general fund to us. In terms of the quality of care, the quality of early education directly impacts a child's success in school. We continue to hear that about half of our children arrive at kindergarten and they're not ready for school. So everything we can do to improve the quality of the education they get before they arrive at school will improve their chances of succeeding. So I would urge the Senate to take advantage of these funds and put as much as possible toward the quality of the services those children receive. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for all your hard work on behalf of our youth. Next, we will go to Ms. Denise Daniello with the Alaska Commission on Aging. Denise, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
sorry about that. Hi, Denise.
Good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Denise Daniello, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging. And I'm here today in support of SB 161 with particular interest regarding acceptance of the senior nutrition funds.
Denise, you only have 15 seconds.
Oh.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
I'm from Chicago. What can I say? These funds amount to $485,000. These funds provide services for about 15,000 older Alaskans for home-delivered meals and congregate meals. These are meals that are served at the senior center. To qualify for these services, an individual must be of age, 60 years of age or older, and for some reason, whether it be financial hardship or physical inability, are not able to prepare their own meals. I'm a former director of a senior center in Fairbanks. I know firsthand the importance of these services for many older Alaskans. Regarding lunches served at the congregate meal sites at the senior centers, these lunches are a main focus point for older people to come to every day at the senior center to get together, to socialize with other people, and to enjoy a nutritious lunch. For many seniors, they're not able to stand at the stove and prepare their own meal. They just open a can of soup and call it good. For people who receive home-delivered meals at home, these services are vitally important. Some of these folks are recovering and just getting out of the hospital, so preparing their own meal is not an option. For others, they may not ever be able to prepare their own meal because they're not capable of, again, standing at that stove because of chronic medical conditions. These the Meals on Wheels driver who delivers the meal to the person's home may be the one and only contact a person might have that day. So that person really looks forward to seeing that that visit, having that visit from the Meals on Wheels driver. So with that, I thank you very much for hearing all of our testimony today and appreciate your support of these funds for seniors. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Denise. And next, Nancy DeCherney with the Juno Arts and Humanities. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning. My name is Nancy DeCherney, and I'm with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. You've already heard from Charlotte Fox. I would like to back her up and say, please, thank you for your support of the funding for the arts in the stimulus package. What we have planned and what she has planned is all the funding will be specifically for jobs that we would have had or lost this year, or for projects that we had intended to do and will not be able to do. I will have to say, I think you heard from Mike Heilsman from Out North, our corporate funding is way off, and we expect it to continue that way. I would also draw your attention to the fact that our individual donors are up by a significant amount, which to me means that individuals in the community don't want the arts to suffer. And among the things that we're thinking about, we're renovating the National Guard Armory down there. If you haven't been by, you should come. Among the projects we anticipated doing this year would have been painting the exterior, which it needs, and also we need help managing and running the place. We were working with the Rasmussen Foundation and would have been able to hire somebody to help me with that project. They've told me that that funding is going to be cut, so I would look at it for this. But I want to just say thank you to you guys for all this hard work. I wouldn't be in your seats for any amount of money. And I also want to thank you for your hard work to make sure that Juno is represented in a way that constituents would like that to happen. And thanks for being here so early in the morning. That's all I have to say.
Nancy, thank you very much. And Senator Ellis has a question for you.
Okay.
Good morning. Governor Palin is asking for an acknowledgement from everyone involved, citizens across the state and groups, that they realize this is one-time funding. Is that something that you all realize and acknowledge publicly?
I don't know if you've ever worked in a nonprofit, but all the funding we get is one-time funding. I absolutely do, and that's why I would say to you the projects that we had in mind we will be able to, if we get this kind of funding, and if my grant is accepted by Charlotte, to hire carpenters and painters to do the exterior. That will not be something that I would do otherwise, and it will also not be something that would be ongoing. Most of the projects that we have in mind, I think, would reduce our operating costs in the long run. But absolutely, I understand at all times that I can lose funding anytime.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that being put on the record and would ask all the other folks online who testified to make that comment in their testimony. I think it will help us make the case.
Yeah, excellent point, and thank you for that, Senator Ellis. And Nancy, thanks for your hard work as the executive director.
Oh, thank you. Come on down. We have a great show.
Thank you. And next, Ms. Peggy Brown with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Peggy Brown. I am the executive director for the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. My comments will be brief. On behalf of the 18 member programs across the state, of which you've heard from Judy Cordell at Awake, who is one of 18, I would just like to thank you all for considering accepting the CDVSA stop money that's coming through public safety. This money will go to shelter and victim services programs throughout Alaska for a one-time boost, where they will spend it on things that they normally wouldn't be able to spend it on, whether that is a repair, a renovation, a prevention curriculum, as well as other things that they know are one-time funding. I also wanted to thank you for considering the stimulus funds because it also will help them absorb the impact of the economic downturn. And as we all know, there is a direct relationship between an economic downturn and an increase of intimate partner violence, and unfortunately, Alaska is no exception. So anticipation of your question through the chair, Senator Ellis, would we come back as individual programs or as a group requesting replacing these stimulus funds? I can categorically tell you most certainly no, we would not. This is one-time funding to absorb impact and make a boost in an area that is much needed across the state.
Hey, Peggy, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. And next we have Ms. Joy Lyon. Joy, you're the public policy chair.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome.
One of my many hats, yes. Thank you. My name is Joy Lyon. I live here in Juneau, and I'm representing the Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children, public policy chair of our membership association. And I'd just like to speak also to our support of utilizing this opportunity with the federal stimulus funds to make a really sound investment in our young children and their education. You know, studies have shown that the earlier you make this investment in education, the greater the return on that investment. So the peak brain development years are really birth to five, up to the 48 month of life are some of those really critical brain development wirings going on there. So by investing some of our funding in that education in those early years, you know, you're going to see those results. And I'd love to come back in 2 years and say, yes, let me show you the outcomes of increased kindergarten readiness and increased family support of reading with their children, all these things that are going to make a difference for throughout their whole education. So we do have previously funded, grant-funded, time-limited funding that were highly successful in increasing the professional development of teachers that work with young children. There are over 6,000 people working in the field of early care and education. And through a seed grant several years ago that was sponsored by Senator Stevens, that we were able to lift the education of Head Start teachers and child care teachers across the state. We've also had successful outcomes with an investment in time-limited investment in rural development of child care in rural communities where it's harder for them to meet the licensing standards due to their facilities. So we were able to do some grants specialized to be able to lift the facility to be able to become licensed from the state. We also had other quality initiatives that were successful in bringing up the program and environment of child care programs so that they could really do a better job of meeting the needs of the lower income children from lower income families who are most at risk. You know, the child care development block grant, you know, the increase in eligibility helps those parents to be able to afford a higher quality care for the children that are most at risk and really have the most to benefit. So I urge you to accept this opportunity and would be delighted to be able to come back and show you some outcomes from that investment. Thank you.
And thank you, Joy, very much. Next, we will go to, Janice Winkler from Alaska Child Care Resource and Referral Network. Janice, are you there?
Hi, I apologize. I understand you called me before I had an emergency here in the office and had to hang up, but thank you now for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Candace Winkler, and I'm with the Alaska Child Care Resource and Referral Network. Statewide, we work with over 6,000 families, and we work with over 3,000 teachers in child care and Head Start and early learning programs throughout the state. And I wanted to echo what Joy Lyon and Cheryl Keepers and Melinda Myers have already said, to encourage you to accept the economic stimulus dollars, especially those for the Child Care Development Block Grant. We do understand these are one-time monies. We do think that there is a lot we can do around quality and around increasing the skills of teachers to have better programs for families and children. You know, a tie-in with the you know, the economic crisis that is going on is we know that when families are struggling and have additional stress, that that is felt by young children, and often that results in behavioral issues and problems that they bring and exhibit in their early care and learning program. And many of the teachers in those programs have a hard time dealing with those types of behaviors, as they don't have, you know, always as much education as we would like for them to have. We know that in the state of Alaska, 30% of licensed programs state that on an annual basis they are asking children, young children, to be removed from their program because they can't handle the behavioral issues. So one of the things that we would really like to augment with our service delivery that we think could make a big difference to those programs and for families and children is to enhance the technical assistance and the training that those teachers get around working with children who are acting out or who are exhibiting behavioral problems because stresses they may be feeling at home. We feel like that is something that you can expand and contract, because as those teachers develop more skills and more ability to be able to guide children if they are exhibiting those behaviors, they'll be much more likely to be able to remain in a stable placement, which we know is good for their development. So I do think there are a lot of things we can do that would be directly related to, you know, to the stress that families and programs are dealing with in these current economic times, but I also think there are the types of things that we can expand and contract as the money comes and goes. So thank you for taking the time to hear my my thoughts, and I do again urge you to accept all of the money, in particular the Child Care Development Block Grant money.
Okay, thank you very much, Jandice. And we will take a brief at ease.
We'll now go to Joanne Adaruff. Please, if you could introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I hope you guys can hear me all right now.
Yes, we can.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. I'm Johanna Darrow, IT Director at the Alaska Primary Care Association, a nonprofit organization providing technical assistance and support to primary care providers, particularly safety net providers, including community health centers, to allow them to operate more efficiently and cost-effectively. Thank you for this opportunity to testify of the importance of the electronic health records infrastructure funding in the stimulus package designated for Alaska. I urge you to accept the funding set aside for this purpose, as it will allow Alaska to develop a health information exchange system that will improve healthcare quality, reduce medical errors, and increase the efficiency of care. It will advance the delivery of appropriate evidence-based healthcare services promoting wellness, disease prevention, and management of chronic illnesses. It will also ensure that appropriate information needed to make medical decisions is available in a usable form at the time and in the location that the medical service is provided. It will also produce greater value for healthcare expenditures by reducing healthcare costs that result from inefficiency, medical errors, inappropriate care, and incomplete information. Alaska Primary Care Association is part of a partnership that is working on the Alaska eHealth Network, and we support the acceptance of this one-time funding to help establish this much-needed health IT infrastructure in Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you for testifying this morning.
Thank you.
We'll now go to Carol Como, please, in Anchorage.
Hello, this is Carol Como, the superintendent in Anchorage, and I appreciate this opportunity. I urge you to accept all available stimulus money because I think, as you've been hearing all morning, this is critically needed funding. We all recognize unequivocally that it is one-time money and that we will not expect the legislature to replace the funding when the money goes away in 2 years. I think all of us take this very seriously. I know in a meeting I had a couple of weeks ago with Secretary Duncan, he made that very, very clear that this was one-time money, and the intent is to really try and do some intensive training, some intensive support to schools with this one-time money. So I know in Anchorage we're really excited about the opportunity perhaps of using some of the one-time money to begin some pre-K programs in our Title I schools with a clear understanding that if we see the results that we think we will, we'll be able to redirect other Title I funding to keep these pre-K programs going and to let something else go in the Title I fund. So we do this all the time with grants, and I just think we're more than willing to be accountable very publicly for the use of the money and certainly willing and able to share the results of the use of the money over the next few years. So I would just urge you all to support the testimony that you've already heard and to accept the stimulus funding.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Como. We'll now go to Fairbanks. Karen Parr. Karen Parr, please, if you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill. Karen Parr in Fairbanks.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, please.
Keep pushing it. Okay. Yes. I'm the chairman of the Board of Retirement Community of Fairbanks, which is seeking to build a Raven Landing Senior Community in Fairbanks.
But,
and
your name, please?
Karen Parr, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't push the button in time. Is it okay now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to add a couple of points to those that have been made. Obviously, as we've been saying all along, a project like ours is a one-shot project, and we have been telling you for 3 or 4 years now that it would not require any state maintenance whatever because it would be self-supporting once it got built. And I don't even know whether Raven Landing would qualify for any of the things that are listed under the stimulus money for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. But I'd like to make a sort of a general observation that not only is it wise to put the stimulus money someplace where it's not expected to recur, something where a one-shot appropriation would do the most good temporarily, but it's also very smart to put it someplace that's going to generate revenue for the future. And as we've sent studies to you showing that the seniors leaving the state are a big loss of revenue. Those seniors who have means are leaving because there's no supportive housing here. And if they can stay in Fairbanks, they will be a huge revenue stream for Alaska in the future with very little downside because these people are self-supporting. One more point I'd like to make is to suggest that you consider appointing a watchdog, as some people have been suggesting elsewhere, to make sure that these funds are expended in the way that the legislature intended, and that there's no wasteful spending, certainly no graft from all of this money. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this morning, Ms. Barr. Sarah Fennell from Fairbanks.
Yep, that's me. Hi, I'm Sarah Fennell, and I actually work at Fairbanks Counseling and Adoption, and I'm the homeless youth advocate there. I run a program, a street outreach and advocacy program for homeless and runaway youth. And I don't know about what exactly in this funding would specifically affect the youth that I work with, but I do know that any funding whatsoever that goes towards prevention, that goes towards early childhood stuff, stuff that goes into schools, I mean, anything that's going to help out our communities is going to help out this particular population of our community. They're a really high-risk population. They often come from homes involved in domestic violence, substance abuse. Oftentimes, these youth leave home at young ages like 13, 14, and they end up not meeting me or other advocates that are going to help them out until they're 17 and 18 and 19 years old. And by then, they've missed their opportunity to learn those basic vital survival skills that will help them become productive members of our society. So I just wanted to encourage you to go for all of this funding. Please accept all of it. Please put this money into our communities and help us out up here. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for testifying this morning. Paul Sherry, please. Mr. Sherry.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to
Yes, Mr. Sherry, if you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, I'm sorry, the buttons are confusing here. My name is Paul Sherry. I'm the president of the Alaska eHealth Network, and I'm a resident here in Fairbanks. My concern was, and I thank you, my concern is to make sure that a certain set of funds in the stimulus bill are covered by the legislation sufficiently to ensure that Alaska is prepared to access them. I do note in the spreadsheet that there is a reference to the ARRA high-tech funds, but we haven't been able to get clarification specifically whether this references a specific allocation that's available in the stimulus, and we'd just like to urge you to take a close look at that. The specific reference that we're looking at is in Title 13. It's the high-tech component of the bill. And there's a subtitle C, which is grants and loans. And the subsection is section 13301. And there's a total of $2 billion available nationally through the Office of the National Coordinator for HIT. This is not a formula-based set of funds. It's a competitive grant funding, but we are working with the Department of Health and Social Services to be poised to apply for as much as $20 million of this $2 billion over the next two fiscal years to develop a health information exchange here in Alaska. Indeed, your committee is hearing SB 133 tomorrow. And the key funding that will allow SB 133 to become effective is this $20 million in stimulus funding. So whereas broadly the language covers HIT adoption and electronic health records, incentive payments, this kind of thing, we just want to make sure that the state has clear authorization to apply for a minimum of $20 million of this stimulus package funding in the next 2 years. It's been difficult for us, as it has been for you, to sort through the bill and the requirements, but and we're prepared to work with you more as needed to make sure that this particular grant funding is identified and covered by the legislation. Those are my comments. I don't expect to be able to be available tomorrow morning for the SB 133 review, so I appreciate the opportunity to comment to you on it today, and I'm available if you have questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sherry. We'll now go to Mr. Tom Morgan in the off-net. Mr. Morgan, if you can introduce yourself for the record and who
you represent. Yes, sir, I am. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time today. I am Tom Morgan, State Director for Communities and Schools of Alaska, nonprofit 501c3 agency. Like glue, we get kids to stick with school. Earlier this week, in fact, in recent months and over the years, many articles on dropout rates and literacy, or more correctly, illiteracy, appear in the Yankees paper and other media around the state and the nation. In fact, just last week, an article in the state of South Carolina noted that reading to a child today lessens the chance of law enforcement having to throw the book at them tomorrow. Communities and Schools is committed to increasing graduation rates, and I applaud the efforts by the state administration to address that most critical need of the state. We do so, Communities and Schools, we do so by utilizing existing resources to remove the obstacles to graduate. Most often, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, most often these challenges lie outside the school. That is where Communities and Schools helps. We get positive, evidence-based results. We can prove that we make a difference. CIS works. The Imagination Library program that puts books in the hands of children birth to five, in partnership with Best Beginning, works. So I urge funding for Communities and Schools. I urge funding for Imagination Library. Our Career Exploration Program, Opportunities Program, works to help kids in the rural communities learn what other job opportunities are available that may not exist in the community they live. These stimulus dollars we keep talking about can and will help. A lot of talk has been thrown about short-term money and what's going to happen at the end of 1 or 2 years. Nonprofit agencies, by virtue of who and what they are and what they do, are very good stewards of the money, leverage resources well, and plan for today and tomorrow both. So I think that a lot of the talk about the concern of 2 years down the road really is not proper or appropriate right now for discussion, because we have a challenge. The whole issue of stimulus program money is to act as a bridge between some real hard times now and down the road when the economy turns around. So I really encourage you to look at the short term in this regard, in terms of what we can do to help kids and keep kids in school. So with that, I would thank you for your public service. I would not want to be in your shoes. I do appreciate the fact that folks like yourself take the opportunity to serve Alaska and us, and many times we sit out here and probably lob grenades at you, and let you sit there and you take our comments and our conversations, our input, and for that I thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Morgan. That concludes the LIOs and the off-nets. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to come forward that hasn't spoken before in this bill? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the committee. Any members have any brief comments they want to make before we set this bill aside? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside. And I'd like to thank everybody for calling in, taking their time out this morning in public testimony. The next meeting will be tomorrow, April 7th, 9 a.m. We'll have three bills on the agenda: Senate Bill 1, Alaska Minimum Wage, followed by Senate Bill 170, Unemployment Amendments for Federal Stimulus; Senate Bill 133, Electronics Health Info Exchange System. Unless there's any other further business from the committee? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.